This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Chris Palmieri. Chris is the CEO and president of the Commonwealth Care Alliance. He's based in the Northeast in Boston, and we'll get a chance to visit with him about COVID-19 and more today. Chris, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. So thanks again, Scott, for having me. I'm Chris Palmieri. I have been in healthcare for my entire 25-year career, and I've been mostly involved in building and operating payer-provider organizations that focus on serving vulnerable populations that are covered by state Medicaid programs, as well as Medicare or Medicare Advantage.
Thank you. And for vulnerable populations, COVID-19 is a particularly lethal challenge and problem. Can you tell us a little bit about both the Commonwealth Care Alliance and what you're seeing with COVID-19 as well?
Of course. So first, Commonwealth Care Alliance, or as we call it, CCA, is an organization that's based, as you said, headquartered in Boston. We are statewide in our operations in Massachusetts, and we are both an insurance company as well as a provider. We insure just under 40,000 individuals. These are folks that are 21 and older, and either are of elder population that has multiple chronic illnesses and comorbidities, or individuals under the age of 65 that have complex physical disability, mental illness, or both. And by and large, our entire insured population has a diagnosis of depression or a mental illness. Over 55% fall into that category. Our consumers are taking on average 8 or more prescription medications a month, and each of them have on average about four diagnosed chronic illnesses. All of our consumers live in the community, but they need some level of supports, ranging from those services that would address social determinants like food and meal security, transportation, home safety modifications, in addition to the traditional medical benefits, which covers prescription drugs, primary care, behavioral health services, and then all acute care and specialty services. We're also a provider. We own and operate 3 primary care clinics across Massachusetts. We have over 200 employees that can do in-home primary care visits, and that's done by employed physicians or employed nurse practitioners. We also own and operate 2 inpatient mental health respite units that are in 2 different locations and has 28 beds. We have a program that can take individuals from the emergency department and return them to the community when they don't need inpatient acute care but need some level of service beyond just the ER consultation. We own and operate a company that provides in-home emergency room level care called Instead. We own a company that provides complex care management to organizations that are at some level of financial risk, either an insurance company or an accountable care organization. And we also own a company that is a venture capital accelerator that makes investments in technology-enabled solutions for populations that we are focused on.
Thank you. And let me ask you first, what are you seeing regarding coronavirus with your population currently?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the coronavirus, as you can imagine, has both impacted the state of Massachusetts quite heavily. And the populations that we are responsible for are those that are at the highest risk, either given the fact that they, one, are of an age and comorbid profile where if they were to get COVID-19, this could have a material impact on their health, safety, and well-being. Secondly, we have populations that rely on a personal care services network. So having an individual that's in the home, in the community with our consumers, helping them with a variety of activities of daily living. Much of that workforce has not been able to continue to work either because of the fact that they do not have the appropriate personal protective equipment, or they may have been students enrolled in one of the 140 universities. And when the universities closed, those students had to go back home and leave the state of Massachusetts and go back to their housing. So we have had a variety of reasons why our particular consumers are impacted. The other material reason is that our consumers are the type of folks that need healthcare almost every single day because of their health situation and health status. They've not been able to receive that care through the traditional access points of federally qualified health centers or the specialty networks, because all of those, as you know, have either closed for a period of time or have gone to a reduced level of service. So our consumers have not been able to get the care through the traditional channels and have been much more susceptible to impact of either getting COVID-19 or if they have COVID-19, getting the appropriate treatment that they need.
And take a moment, Chris, and talk about how you ended up in this sort of role and career and profession, because you're really dealing with a very population that is in need. It sounds like a passion and a labor of love for you. How did you end up in this situation to start with?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I come from a long line of family members that are in healthcare. I have two siblings that are in healthcare leadership roles. One is the CEO of a continuing care retirement community and spent his whole life in the administration of skilled nursing facilities and senior care. My sister has been in healthcare as well, also as a nursing home administrator, and now is the administrator actually of a veterinary medicine practice that's a very large scale practice in upstate New York. My uncle owned nursing homes, and my mom is a nurse. I think what's probably led me to this particular field is not only my desire to follow in my family's footsteps, but I have another brother that has both a physical as well as mental disability, and he is approximately 14 years older than I am. So you can imagine growing up, I was very much involved in his care and having a very close relationship with him. And I think that really is what colored me in terms of wanting to both be focused on the business of healthcare, but also be able to meet the needs of vulnerable populations, because I grew up my entire life with somebody that needed some level of support from me.
Fabulous and fascinating. Let me ask you this question. In terms of a new normal, what does that look like in managing sort of this very needy and vulnerable population? What does a new normal look like, at least for the next 6 to 12 months?
That's a great question. I think it's one that most Americans are asking from a general perspective of what is new normal. When it comes to patients and people that we are focused on, first of all, individuals continue to need healthcare services. So the minute that COVID-19 was identified in the United States back in January, we activated our incident command and business continuity plans, which first of all, we have always been, to the extent any organization could be, ahead of the progression of this in the United States and now in Massachusetts. So for example, we activated teams that were able to instill seeing patients in the field. So we got our staff the appropriate personal protective equipment. We're now seeing over 50 people a day and providing home-based primary care as well as skilled nursing services to people that need it. We have transitioned our entire workforce to a work from home model. That's 1,400 employees. Prior to COVID-19, the longest that our workforce in its entirety has worked remotely was 2 days because of a snowstorm. So I think as a go forward, first of all, from the patient's perspective, we need to continue to provide critical healthcare services that everybody needs. We will do that in a multitude of channels. So the first one is continuing to provide in-home primary care and healthcare services for those that need it most. The second is to activate telemedicine through a variety of channels, both using telehealth as a way to provide video primary care, as well as telepsychiatry and behavioral health consultative services. The third is through remote patient monitoring, and that is about it continuing to improve a patient or a member's engagement with us. Again, these are folks that either have a comorbid mental health condition or are suffering from loneliness, and we want to make sure that we can continue that level of engagement. And there's a variety of medical devices that we have been investing in and are now focused on moving out into the community. The third is that we have continued to activate our telephonic services. So we are making literally tens of thousands of calls a month to our members that are outbound calls to check in on them, as well as do over the phone health assessments and health screenings. So I believe that all of that activity is going to continue over the next 6 to 12 months. The other piece, obviously, is our workforce, and we have surprisingly done quite well in a remote environment where people are working from home. And I believe we have certain individuals in our employment that are very desirous to get back to the office environment, the resources that we provide our employees, the social interactions that they have with their coworkers and colleagues, the challenges that, as you know, people are having in a state like Massachusetts that is now suspended public schools for the children through this entire academic calendar year. So we have to address all of that, and we're very focused on that. We have another segment of our workforce that has said, geez, this is really working well. Do I ever have to come back to the office? And we are now thinking very broadly about what scenarios would we want to deploy where some of our workforce can continue, if it's working well for them, the telecommuting environment. And then lastly, we do have a group of our employees that does work in the field, in the homes of our consumers, in our primary care clinics. So continue to get to be able to get those individuals the supply of personal protective equipment that they are going to need through probably the next foreseeable 6 to 12 months, and make sure that they're protected. So those are sort of the things that we are thinking about as a large employer and service provider for so many in Massachusetts.
I mean, fascinating, right? I mean, it's and thank goodness you had the foresight to at least have some of these plans in front, where many did not. And now it is employees getting used to a new normal. Because you, as you say, for health reasons, some will work from home, some now prefer working from home. And you've built a big enough institution and group that you could manage that in some ways. And it's a fascinating situation. Chris, what else would you like to leave with our audience today? Any other thoughts on what you're seeing, or thoughts at all on healthcare as we move into this new normal?
No, I think there is a lot of discussion about what the, quote unquote, reentry point looks like for the healthcare community. How do we start to get people the services that they need? What is going to be the situation with the critical access points, including hospitals, federally qualified health centers, and primary care access points? And we plan to be in Massachusetts a very much a part of that solution. We have been providing support to the Commonwealth in its command center in any way that we can. I've had the unfortunate benefit of being on the ground in the cleanup after 9/11, being in the city of New York after the effects of Hurricane Sandy, and now with COVID. So I've had some experience, as have people on my leadership team and in our organization, and we want to lend a hand to Massachusetts as it starts its revitalization. And as you know, the unemployment rate now is at an all-time high in this country. And what that means is we anticipate more people will be looking to the government to get their healthcare services, and meaning that will mean that more people will be on Medicaid. So we're also preparing ourselves for an influx of new customers as we are part of the revitalization. We want to make sure that those that need coordinated healthcare can get that. And we see ourselves very much as a part of that solution, both with the state as well as the federal government.
Well, thank you, Chris, for joining us today. Just fascinating what you do, and must be so challenging to deal with the population to deal with right now, and make sure you give them the best care you can. Fantastic, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's really a pleasure. Thank you for having me today.